Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Thank you for joining us. Tonightly Shir, shirenjoyment.com. Tonight's Shir is on Parshas Vayeshev, and our thoughts, our prayers, our tefillos, our learning, all go out to our chayalim and chayalot in the field, as well as refuah shleima to all those who need it, and continued success, and God willing, shalom al Yisrael. We are discussing the fascinating Parsha of Vayeshev, which sounds like Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Migrei Aviv Beretz Canaan. We open up with that one pasuk alone, which is loaded, because we know that it doesn't need to say all this about Migrei Aviv Eretz Canaan, but rather this is a hidden reference to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was a Karban Ola, he was a Karban LaHashem, and it's very difficult for a person like Yaakov to feel comfortable when you're around someone as great as Yitzchak. If any one of us were around a great tzaddik like Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's hard for us, Kaviyachov, to be in the presence of such a great tzaddik and not feel a little bit uncomfortable, because this is it. So Yitzchak to Yaakov was like a world apart. And so therefore, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, Rashi tells us, but he wasn't able to. It's not possible for someone to simply relax in the presence of a tzaddik. And as the Kedushas Levi explains, he was constantly making an effort to be like his father and to live up to his father's example. In fact, Yaakov had very much wanted to be very much like his father. As we'll see later on, it says, V'yizvachu zvachim alokei aviv Yitzchak, to which the Ramban explains that when Yaakov was told that he had to go down to see his son in Mitzrayim, he doesn't want to go, you know, because he knows that that's going to usher in the Gullus, and he doesn't feel prepared to do so. No one would, especially Yaakov, who is the father of Gullus and the father of Knesset Yisrael. He's not ready to bring his children all the way down to Mitzrayim. He doesn't know what will be with them. So that's the reason why it says, V'yizvachu zvachim alokei aviv Yitzchak, and not Avram. Because Avram Avinu had gone down to Mitzrayim, whereas Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. So that's just as an opening. Yaakov Avinu's discomfort in being, yet, and also, you know, comfort, but primarily discomfort in being in the presence of someone as great as his father Yaakov. In the parsha, we learn that Yehuda says, "Ma betza ki naroges achinu." So the word betza is, it's an interesting word, because betza is ma mamon, that he's asking for, like, what is the benefit in doing such a thing? In fact, this is a much deeper. Betza is a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yehuda was really saying to his brothers, we can't go ahead and kill our brother, because why? Ma betza. So the second letter of the Avos is found within this word. Avram, the second letter is Dez. Yitzchak, the second letter is Sadi. And by Yaakov, the second letter is Ayin. So that spells out betza. But there's another level to this. What was Avram responsible for creating? Shachris. When do you say Shachris? Boker. So that's the base. Mincha was created by Yitzchak. Lesuach Vasada. When do you say Mincha? Tzarayim. And Yaakov was Metakin Arvis. What do you say at night? You say Ma'ariv, which is also done at night, Erev. And that's Yaakovino. So there's a direct, there's two parallel connections that Yehuda was referencing in order to save his brother, hoping that would shed some light. But we also see that after the episode of Yosef being sold into the pit, there was, as Rabbeinu Bachya explains, there was a cherem that was put, because Binyamin is home with his father. Reuben had gone back to check on his father. It was Reuben's turn to service his father, and he wasn't there. Yosef is in the pit. That means that there are nine brothers that get together, and they devise the scheme of telling their father the Chayra Achalasu. So what Rabbeinu Bachya explains, the Chayra Achalasu actually is a reference to Eishes Potifara, which we'll get to, God willing, I'm not sure if we'll get to it tonight, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Tzayef L'maisa. Hashem created the circumstance by which he was Mashlim the Minyan. There were nine people, and in order to make a Minyan, there were needed to be 10. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chimed in and said, I will be the 10th. What was the 10th? What was this whole understanding? It is that you cannot tell Yaakov the truth about what happened over here, because if you did, then we know that tzaddik goes at Kosh Baruch Mekayim, that whatever tzaddik says, it's possible, as we saw with Yaakov and his beloved wife, Rachel. He said, whoever took the tefillin, that's the person who's going to die. So we know that when words come out of our mouth, they have a special meaning, because our kol kol Yaakov and our tefillos have power. We shouldn't think that we're davening for our chayalim and chayalot, and we're learning for them, that our words do not have power. Our words are very significant, because HaKol Kol Yaakov, look what happens when Yaakov says something. Things happen. And so when we're davening, we should know that there are amazing things that are happening in Shemayim, but we may not be able to see all of it in real time. But Urisa Machorai will see things afterwards. Why was it necessary for this to be a secret and a cherem, such that even when Yosef rose to a high level of command in Exodus Parsha, he wasn't able to reveal this to his father? Again, this goes back to the cherem. And all of this, as the Zohar Kaddish explains, was all set in motion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that, obviously, is just, you know, trying to temper the waters. But and just to try to break ice over here with a very deep discussion that requires a lot more, but I can only give you herring tidbits. I wanted to just try to explain that Yaakov Avinu, right, it says afterwards that the children were very upset. What does it mean that he fell from grace? So when all of this transpired and they saw the pain that the father was in, constant and availus, and not able to reconcile, why? Because Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin, Yaakov Avinu took Yosef out from Yishlachei Me'em Chabron. He sent him from the valleys of Chabron. You would think that that would be sufficient as a Shemira L'Aderach. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains that, yes, you know, it is true that Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin. However, if you send to a place that is Makom L'Peranios, then that does not take hold. So we know that Shechem is where Malchus Beit Yehuda and Klal Yisrael divided themselves. We know that Shechem was where Dina was abducted. We know that Shechem is where Yosef fell into a pit. All these things correspond to a place that is not a healthy vacation zone, to put it mildly. So Yaakov Avinu is in terrible pain and anguish because on the one, he doesn't know what happened to Yosef. And then so all the brothers turn against Yehuda and they say, Yehuda, you are our king. How could you go ahead? You're leading us. How could you create a circumstance? So when the Pasuk says, V'yeri Yehuda me'esachav, he falls from grace. It doesn't mean physical. It means emotional. It means psychological. It means a whole lot more. Sometimes the psychology is so much greater than whatever the body can do because the body is motivated by its own spirit and Yehuda fell. So we know that at the very moment that Yehuda falls, Rashi tells us that that's when the Zera Mashiach is coming into the world. And Chazal tells us that in last week's parasha, we know that the Zera of Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, came into the world. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get down to Parshas Vayechi, because we know that there was a child that was born to Shechem and Dinah, and this little baby girl didn't have a place inside Yaakov's home because Yaakov Avinu was concerned that she would meet an untimely demise, much like the people of Shechem. So Yaakov Avinu sits down at night and he writes down, Kona Agebin Agebabat Yaakov. Anyone who touches me is touching the daughter of Yaakov, wraps this paper up in a like an amulet, ties it around her neck, sends her down with the Malach Avriel to where Yaakov has no clue. All he knows is that the baby's out of the house. And now he knows that the Malach will take care of her. The following morning, she's found in a sneh, a pines. She's found in a bush by means of a miracle. And hence her name becomes Asnath. And that's how we learn about Asnath, who grew up in the house of Potipharah, which explains the whole episode of Potipharah advancing herself on Yosef, because she believed in her mazalos, she was correct, that she will have children from Yosef, except she wasn't aware of Chazal, obviously, that say that if, even if you're not a biological parent, if you raise a child as your own, then you become the parent. So it was through her daughter, who was not biologically related to her, who she took in the same way that Batya took in baby Moshe, Potipharah took in baby Asnas, and raised this child, and when as we'll learn in next week's parsha, that Yosef was incredibly beautiful. And the reason why he was so handsome and gorgeous was because there was a relationship between Rachel and Leah. Leah was supposed to have a zachar, but davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that there should be some division for her sister who had not yet had any children. And so the zachar became a nekeva, became a dina. And Yosef took some of those characteristics that exuded beauty. And so when all the girls saw a handsome, dashing young man, age 30, who is, you know, risen to the top of the political echelon within the strongest country in the world at the time, they, of course, wanted his attention, and they probably threw a lot of things to get it. But this girl was Nisha Tanua, and the only thing that she can imagine throwing was this amulet, and when he read it, he married her on the spot. Ceremoniously afterwards, Paro gives over Asnath to Yosef, and he renames Yosef Tzafnath Paneach, And it's interesting that the word paneach equals 208. So if anybody wants to give me a connection, why 208? What is the connection of 208 to Yosef? And what is the significance of the number 208? Please let me know, because I hope to share that with you at the next time we get together. So coming attraction, so please inform me, 347-439-3969. And we'll talk about it some more. But we see that the Zera of Mashiach ben Yosef is brought into the prior week parsha of Vayishlach. And in this very parsha, we have the Zera of Mashiach ben David, which is from Machlas Beis Yehuda, from Yehuda, first era, Onen, and then Bat Yosef Od Shela. And then Shela had Peretz and Zerah. And we know that Mashiach ben Yosef comes from Al Yadish ben Parzi. That refers to the line of Peretz. Zerah is the nobility of Klal Yisrael. And so that also, there's so much to say in this week's parsha. I try to close out with this idea of understanding that, again, my message is that in the darkest of times, and this is the connection to Hanukkah, in the darkest of times, we ignite a little bit of light, and all of a sudden, the whole room gets illuminated. We rekindle the flame of yesteryear to illuminate the next generation and the next cycle of Jewish growth. And right now, Klal Yisrael is going through a difficult time, but we have to have the faith, as we've always done throughout the millennium. This is not a new thing for us. Unfortunately, many of us have seen this firsthand for the first time. But Klal Yisrael has gone through a lot of difficulties. We will persevere. We will be able to shine through this, just like the Hanukkah Neros on the fourth night are illuminating our homes. God willing, so too, we will have this illumination that will carry us forward, the warmth, the light. Ki ner mitzvah b'torah ar, ner Hashem nishmas Adam, that this ner mitzvah is going to create amazing, amazing schools for Klal Yisrael. And just, I think I may have touched upon this beforehand, but I apologize. I'm just going to give you a quick thought on Hanukkah, that we know that Yaakov Avinu goes back for the Pachim Ketanim, these small flasks of oil. Later on, these very flasks are used to put them on Yaakov's head and also to anoint Shalom Melech, David, Shlomo Melech, all the kings, as well as what the Hashmonaim used to ignite the menorah in their time. The word Pach is interesting because it equals 88, says the Kedushas Levi. And we know that over the course of Hanukkah, we will light 36 Neros plus 8 Shamashim equaling 44. And we know that whatever we light is also lit above. The Mamas and the Tatas that are no longer with us, Yivada Mechaim Aruchim, we should only have a long life. And the Babas and the Zaydis and the Alta Babas and Alta Zaydis that we remember, we fondly remember with love, they're no longer with us, but the neshamas are lighting candles in Shemayim. And when we say Kedusha, they say Kedusha. When we say Kol Nidre, they say Kol Nidre. We should know and recognize that that's the reason why we should refrain from speaking during davening, so that there is no static between the connections of this world and the world above. So we're lighting 44 in this world, they're lighting 44 above. That equals 88. When we light the Ner Hanukkah, we say Lahalik Ner Hanukkah. The Rosh Tevas of Lahadik Ner Hanukkah equals 88, Lamed Nun Ches. And when we light the candles, we shouldn't just simply light them and walk away. Rather, we should spend 30 minutes, turn the cell phone off, turn all the distractions off, and focus on the Neros, look into the light. And that's when we say, Nafshenu Chokso LaHashem, that our souls are drawn close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Tevas Nachal is also equal to 88. So I just wanted to wish everyone a lichtig Hanukkah, a Hanukkah that illuminates and spreads warmth and light, and God willing, good over evil. Hatzlacha and bracha and all the very best, and a successful filled week. This is Mordechai Plotzker from Elizabeth Hillside, New Jersey. Take care.